So there I was in New Zealand, standing in front of about 150 people, getting ready for us to perform in the final event of the Cocktail World Cup. I'm standing there in a U.S. Olympic sprinter singlet, and I'm singing opera. So how did I get there? In 1997, I was going to college, and I decided, all right, I can't work at the mall anymore. I should probably go work in like a restaurant, because that seems like better for college hours, and hopefully I'll make a little better money. And so I go and get a job. I get a job at a place down in Potomac, Maryland called Hunter's Inn. It's kind of like a tavern meets like a kind of fine dining restaurant. I went in, tried to get a job. They were like, no way. But I convinced them because I guess I was charming enough or eager enough. And very quickly, I took to it like a fish in water. I became friends with a lot of the servers and who were much older than me, 25, 35 years old. And they would take me down into D.C. to go to bars. And I'm only like 18 years old at this time. I don't have a fake ID. And I'm like, well, I can't get in there. And they're like, oh, come on. We know everybody. So we just go in. There I am having cocktails at like 18 years old in Washington, D.C. and having like the time of my life at the bar. Late at night, we'd hang out. I'd have cigars that like that a patron would bring back from Jamaica. And they're like, oh, they're Cubans. It's awesome. And I'm like drinking Goose Island IPA. I was hooked. It was so much fun to be in the restaurant industry. I'm still in college and I'm studying architecture. But a couple years passed and I was like, all right, architecture isn't for me, but I can sing and I've always been singing. So I apply to Peabody here in Baltimore and I get into Peabody. I moved to Baltimore in 1999, and I continue to work in restaurants. I work at the Al Bar, I work at the Black Olive, at Ixia. At college ends, I finish college, and I decide, all right, I'm going to keep working in restaurants for a little. That was a bit of college. Let's see what working in restaurants is like for a bit longer. I eventually become the bar manager at Ixia. And eventually move on to being like the beverage director, which is like, I know something about wine, I know something about cocktails, I'm feeling very important. And I kind of get a little bit of notoriety and kind of go out and see some things. And at that time at Ixia, we're serving martinis. Everything was martinis. If it was if it was mango and vodka, apple martini, espresso martini. But I was like, all right, there are other people making like cocktails, not martinis. Not everything in a cocktail glass is a martini. So I was like, all right, we can do something a little more cocktail-like. So we slowly transformed the martini list into a cocktail menu. And then one day a friend of mine goes, hey, you know, there's this cocktail competition called the Cocktail World Cup. You should enter it. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. So I enter the competition. The big night arrives, and I have to go compete. It's down in the Inner Harbor on the Constellation. I make my signature drink called the Queen Bee. If you've ever had a bee's knees, it is like a bee's knees. In this case, though, vodka, a little bit of yuzu, honey, elderflower. And, you know, I'm there. I show up, and there's this guy in a red, it almost looks like he's wearing like a Masters like jacket, like a golf jacket. And I'm like, okay, where am I? What is this? I watched some of the other competitors compete, and I'm like, all right, they're doing all right, but I think I can do better. So it's my turn to compete. I compete. I'm shaking my cocktails, performing really great, pour out the cocktail. It looks perfect. I have the right glasses. I even brought my own glassware, and I finish. Mr. Red Jacket goes, now that's how you make a drink. And he tastes it, and he goes, oh, that's delicious. And I win the competition. So I won the regional finals, and I'm getting to go to New Zealand. But I really didn't know still what this competition was about. So I first have to go to New York, and I find out that the competition really isn't just a single like a single solo act. You have teammates. So my teammates are Sammy from New York and Bobby from Boston. And Sammy from New York, by the way, is a very famous bartender named Sam Ross. You've probably had one or two of his very famous cocktails, a penicillin or a paper plane. He is probably one of the most famous bartenders globally. And I'm like, awesome, this is great. I got like a really good expert on the team. So we meet up in New York. They fly us to LA, where we meet the other like six US competitors. Then they fly us to Auckland. We get to Auckland, and there are 30 other competitors from around the world. We get on a plane, pretty small plane. There's like 30, 40 bartenders on the small plane. We're flying to Queenstown, to the South Island. And it was like something out of being like in a rock band. You have all these people who are super excited. The adrenaline's high, high-fiving. We're flying into Queenstown between two mountains. It's snowing, and it feels like maybe the plane is going to come down. It does not. We survived. We land. We get off the flight, and on the tarmac, they have a 42 below vodka bus waiting for us. You're like, okay, this is awesome. Get on the bus, put your bags in this van. We're going to the first competition, like right off the plane. The first competition was we had to bungee jump off of the AJ Hackett Bridge. And when you, after you bungee jumped, you had to climb back up this big steep hill. I mean, it was really steep. And then you had to what is called free pour, where you have to just kind of pour without measuring into a jigger. You had to free pour three different amounts and blindly, so you couldn't see how much you were pouring, and you had to be very accurate. So imagine bungee jumping. Your adrenaline is like pumping, much like mine is right now. And then when you get to the top of the hill, you're just sucking wind. And so free pouring is kind of hard at that moment. I go, everybody else goes. Next day, we're like jet boating and making punches. This competition was true like Kiwi, Australia, like extreme sports and bartending. After a few days, we get to the end of all the preliminary competitions or the events, and they say, all right, we're going to tell you that who is going into the final event. They sit everybody down. We're in much like you are tonight, and they go through all the bars, the bar teams that have made the finals. And I'm sitting there next to Sam, and we're listening, and we're not hearing our name. We're feeling pretty confident that like we had done well. And they get to the end, and then they say, and we haven't been named, they say, so we have one more bar team that is the best bar team. They have shown exemplary barmanship skills. It was us. Right on. We came in first at that moment. Fantastic. We're feeling really proud of ourselves. So we have one more event, which is the finals. The final cocktail has to be something that is inspirational about our visit to New Zealand. So Sam and I had discussed about doing punches because punches were really in vogue at that time. And we decided we're going to like take kind of like our surrounding area. We're in like ski chalets in the mountains. So we're like, all right, we're going to like get some, Sam's going to forage for some stuff. I'm going to go into town and get some more like basic ingredients. So I head into town, Sam heads out to forage. Bobby, by the way, was like a club bartender and not really into all this. We just kind of directed him on what to do, and he nailed it, but I think he took a nap. Sam goes off. I go to town. I come back, and I find out from one of my teammates that Sam took one of the kitchen knives with him to go saw down some tree limbs and get some like evergreen boughs and cut his hand really bad. He had to go to the hospital. He had to get stitches. I'm back at our little chalet. Sam shows up. His hand is all wrapped up like a mummy. And I'm thinking, great, how are we going to compete in this competition? And so we sit down once like the drugs wore off of Sam for a bit. We come up with a game plan. We tell Bobby exactly what he's going to do. And Sam goes, you know, I got one more thing that I think will really like help us stand out from everybody else. And he comes back from his suitcase and he has these U.S. Olympic singlets for us to wear. And when I say singlet, I mean like it's like a wrestler's outfit or like it only comes to your thighs and it's very skin tight and very revealing. So we're putting on our singlets the next day for the competition. We're ready to go. And we're like looking at each other and we're like, all right, these don't leave anything for the imagination. So Sam's like, I'm getting a sock. Puts a sock in his crotch. Bobby's like, I'm getting two socks. I used a sock. But yeah, so we go to the competition. We have robes on. We don't want to reveal our big, like, reveal. And everybody goes, and we were the last to go because we chose to be last. And we get up on stage, and we take off the robes, and everybody's hooting and hollering and loving it. And so there I am in New Zealand, standing on a stage in front of 150 people about to perform in the Cocktail World Cup, wearing a U.S. Olympic singlet, singing opera. And that was probably the day that solidified me into working in bars for my life.